safety belts. Bucket seats have all got to go when we're driving. In the car, it makes my baby seem so far.
This is Matt Hoy on the Dave Congleton Show, KVEC, 920 AM, 96.5 FM. Sitting in for Dave. Today we are talking with Brian White of... has a couple websites, Zebra Fact Check and PolitiFactBias.com. Brian, good to talk to you.
Hi there, Matt. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. So,
thanks for having me on.
So you have been kind of watching this fact-checking industry pretty much since its inception almost. PolitiFact won a Pulitzer back in the dark ages about, 10 years ago. And they've been riding on it ever since. So, and one of the websites you run is PolitiFact Bias. What kind of prompted you to start that website and eventually Zebra Fact Check?
Okay, as you mentioned, I've been criticizing PolitiFact since pretty much its inception back in 2007, and a few years later when PolitiFact started having a presence on Facebook, I joined Facebook and started commenting there. And while I was commenting on PolitiFact stories on Facebook, I noticed that there was somebody else who was making some of the same points. That was Jeff D., the semi-anonymous member of the PolitiFact Bias team. He had his own blog, I had my own blog, and he started doing something I thought was a great idea. He started posting every story he thought had merit that was criticizing PolitiFact and putting that on his blog and making comments. And I'd been doing kind of the same thing, but I really liked his approach, and so I contacted him and said, why don't we both do this and have one website where we put together what we think is the best criticism of PolitiFact? And that's how PolitiFact Bias was born.
So what are your kind of major critiques about PolitiFact? PolitiFact seems to think that that you bash them either A, for no reason, or B, because they're not nice enough to Republicans.
Yeah, they have a great way of mischaracterizing our criticisms of them. The original criticism was that their rating system was so inevitably subjective. Their definitions do very little to guide a reporter in writing and leading to an unbiased conclusion. That was the original criticism. And then just upon reading the fact checks, when they started publishing them routinely, they were making just astonishing mistakes. There's one classic example that I use with the PolitiFact Florida branch said that when a Florida congressman was criticized for raising his own pay, they said that was true. And then about a year later, PolitiFact Ohio had a similar case where, trying to remember the senators that were involved in that. I do have it in a note down here. Ah, yes. Nope. Well, I've lost that one. The same case came up in Ohio, and they said, yes, no, you can't raise your own pay. It's impossible. So PolitiFact disagreed with itself, and they don't correct these sorts of things. They have a lot of contradictions in their past writing, and they just let it go. And apparently, it doesn't get wide notice. I mean, we've noticed quite a bit of it and documented it, but people let it slide for some reason.
And the point where they kind of come at you for being too nice to Republicans is it seems like when they have these differing rulings as far as, you know, and their rulings go from true, mostly true, half true, mostly false, and pants on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And they're what seems to happen too often when you see these situations where they are where there are comparable subjects for the fact check, that if a Democrat makes the same claim as a Republican, the Republican's usually graded harsher than the Democrat.
There does seem to be a tendency that way. and it does seem to be reflected in their ratings. In addition to that, of course, PolitiFact is choosing different types of statements from each group. It's very likely that they're choosing, basically giving softball type of rating softball statements from Democrats and finding stuff that's tougher from the Republicans. But as you say, when they rate similar types of claims, the Democrats seem to do a little better, sometimes a lot better.
Now, one of the things that I know frustrates the heck out of you, it frustrates the heck out of me, is these report cards that PolitiFact seems to publish both on their own website and they put it up on Facebook, and I see people retweeting this on Facebook. You know, so-and-so politicians in the news, here's how truthful they are. And they'll show, you know, what PolitiFact, you know, a number of PolitiFact's checks they've done on them, and how many were true, how many were mostly true, how many were false, how many were pants on fire. And they present that as a guide for the average reader on who's more trustworthy and who's telling the truth. What's the problem with that that grade that they give out?
Well, first, PolitiFact kind of sort of tries to be careful not to say that they're making that kind of judgment about politicians. But when their readers have a graph in front of them, and for a Republican, the graph looks like it's leaning toward falsehood, and then for the Democrat, it seems it's leaning toward truthfulness, that sends a very strong message to somebody. It's the picture is worth a thousand words kind of thing. And as I mentioned earlier, they are not picking statements at random. In sampling terms, what's going on is selection bias. Because they're not sampling things randomly, you can't draw any kind of scientific conclusion about whether somebody is truthful or not. And that would be true even if PolitiFact were rating each statement accurately. And there's a lot of doubt about that. As we've already discussed, the ratings themselves are described in such a way that they're essentially subjective. And, in fact, the founder of PolitiFact, Bill Adair, has said as much. He said that the ratings are purely subjective. And from that non-scientific basis, they repeatedly push these report cards and send to readers the message that, yes, we are able to successfully tell you how truthful somebody is. A lot of people take that and run with it. Their readers seem to eat it up, and that's probably why PolitiFact publishes those types of report cards almost incessantly.
This is Matt Hoy. I'm speaking with Brian White on the Dave Conkleton Show, 920 AM KVEC. If you've got a question for Brian or about fact-checking in generally and how it works and what kind of the criticisms of the right are on it are, please give us a call, 543-8830 or 1-800-549-5832. You're listening to the Dave Conkleton Show.
On News Talk 920 and FM 96.5 KVEC.
Racing through my brain, and I just can't contain.
You're listening to the Dave Conkleton Show on KVEC News Talk, 920 AM, 96.5 FM. This is Matt Hoy sitting in for Dave, who is probably solving world peace. Who knows? Dave does a lot out there. We're talking this hour with Brian White of PolitiFact Bias and ZebraFactCheck.com. So, Brian.
Yes.
The PolitiFact. You focus mainly on PolitiFact. One of the things that I thought was very helpful that you guys have done for a couple of years is at the end of the year, you take a look at PolitiFact's false versus pants on fire ratings. And can you explain for our listeners kind of what the difference between those two ratings is and what that year-by-year analysis kind of shows at the end of the year typically?
Yes, it's a little bit tricky, but so far as PolitiFact is concerned, the difference between a false rating and a pants-on-fire rating rests on one factor. One is considered ridiculous, and the other is not considered ridiculous. The definition of false is that it's a false statement. The definition of pants-on-fire is it's a false statement that is also ridiculous. The premise of the study that we've done is that there is no way to measure objectively whether something is ridiculous or not. We didn't just completely assume that for the research. I did quite a survey of PolitiFact's ratings and looked for the types of justifications that they used for a Pants on Fire rating. I didn't find anything anywhere near consistent on that. So, for the research that we did, we looked at not the number of false or Pants on Fire ratings, but the percentage of time that a Republican or a Democrat was given a Pants on Fire rating instead of a false rating. And the meaning that we take from that is that if a Republican is much more likely to receive a Pants on Fire rating than is a Democrat, in terms of percentage, then that shows a bias, a subjective bias from PolitiFact to give that type of rating. Early on, we saw a very strong bias in that direction from PolitiFact running for the entirety of Bill Adair's career there. There's a new editor there, Angie Drobnik-Colin. And since she's been there, the difference has dropped way down, which we think indicates that they do claim to read what we write. We think that they think that there is a problem there and that they have tried to fix it.
So what you were finding was that if you were a Republican and you made a false statement, at least during those Bill Adair years, that what you were two or three times more likely than a Democrat making a false statement to get the Pants on Fire?
Yes, it was Republicans much more likely to get a Pants on Fire designation.
And again, you know, what I as a conservative slash kind of leaning libertarian, I don't say I'm a Republican anymore, but look at that and I think, well, some, you know, to me, Democrats say more ridiculous things than Republicans do, and I'm, you know, what I took from that was that the PolitiFact kind of tends to seem like it's a little echo chamber in there, as far as I don't know that they have anybody in there who is, you know, left of center, who's right of center or even center right.
I think you're probably right. There was a time when I was able to access some of the voting records for Florida. So I actually do know some of the voter registrations for some of the longtime PolitiFact folks. Mm-hmm. And there is a history of some Republican registration. I think all of them have taken care of that problem, make sure they hide their past registration now. But if any such representation is small, if at all, and you just don't see much evidence of it in their work to begin with.
And we mentioned Florida because PolitiFact is a project of the Tampa Bay Times and the Poynter Institute that's based down there in Florida. So that's where it all started. How does PolitiFact compare to, say, the Washington Post fact checker or the Associated Press when they do fact checks? Are any of those more trustworthy than the others?
That is difficult to say. I don't read that many Associated Press fact checks. I do pay some attention to Glenn Kessler in spite of the paywall at the Washington Post. When I read the same types of fact checks on the same subjects from Kessler, it's more difficult generally to find very stupid mistakes in Kessler's work. I think he's just a little bit better of a journalist. I do think he leans left. He does make some of the same mistakes. For example, describing Medicare cuts as not cuts when Obama was doing it with the Affordable Care Act and suddenly discovering, yes, they are cuts when Trump was doing it in his budget with Medicare when it's really just decreasing the rate of growth. So they were inconsistent on that. Every one of the major fact-check services was inconsistent on that, including factcheck.org.
Now, a couple years ago, PolitiFact's lie of the year was Obama's, if you like your plan, you can keep your plan. That, to me, was an interesting case because, and correct me if I'm wrong, before they named that the lie of the year, in its previous incarnations, they had never actually said that was false.
The lowest rating they ever gave to that claim was half true, and they did not rate it the year it won the lie of the year.
So you got any idea how the heck that happened?
Yes, I do. When news started to come out at the end of the year that many cancellations were happening, PolitiFact was more or less forced to name that the lie of the year in order to save face because it was a huge issue in front of the whole country. If they didn't act on it, they would have lost credibility. So that was really just a big CYA action on their part. And they did some very interesting things to kind of pull that off. One of them was using what the press treated as Obama's cover-up attempt of saying, what we said was this, not that. There was actually a different claim that they raided Pants on Fire that year that I think should have been true, even though it was from Obama, and he said, I think he said a lot of things are false, but I thought it was true. They used that, called it false, Pants on Fire, and kind of joined the claims together and said that both of them won. So they kind of shoehorned the you can keep your plan in to that year by using that other claim he made later.
Now, PolitiFact, one of the interesting things it does, unlike the Washington Post, the fact checker over there, is PolitiFact kind of farms its model out to other newspapers, where it will, you know, and again, that's where you had the difference of opinion between that Florida and Ohio, that you actually had. It wasn't the people in Florida making that judgment for the Ohio case. It was a newspaper in Ohio. California has a branch of PolitiFact who are, frankly, my favorite people since they've banned me from their Facebook page for asking questions. But is that – do you think that PolitiFact does itself a disservice by not kind of imposing – better editorial standards over, for lack of a better term, their franchisees?
It's hard to say. It certainly makes it fun as a critic to see the wild disparity from one to the other. I suppose they do a disservice that way, but they're so the national service all by itself is so inconsistent that maybe it doesn't matter that much. Their standards are just not consistent at all, although PolitiFact California is, they are horrible. They've done some really goofy fact checks.
I'll tell listeners my PolitiFact California story after the top of the hour. But again, we're talking with Brian White of PolitiFactBias.com and Zebra Fact Check, and we'll talk a little bit about Zebra Fact Check after the break as well. You are listening to the Dave Conklin Show, 920 KVEC, News Talk, 920 AM, 96.5 FM.
Keep stretching.
Keep stretching. You see, I Dave doesn't pay me to do this. I just come in here, and I'm obviously not very good at it.
And he's getting what he pays for.
He is getting exactly what he pays for. His mistake. I'll talk about my PolitiFact Bias California story after the break. It's a hoot. And if you've got questions for Brian or me about fact-checking, the media, that sort of thing, give us a call, 543-8830. Listening to the Dave Congleton Show, 920 KVEC. Matt Hoy sitting in for Dave Congleton. We're talking with Brian White of PolitiFactBias.com and ZebraFactCheck.com. Brian, before I tell my PolitiFact story, tell us about Zebra Fact Check, how that came into being, and kind of how you're trying to do fact checks a little bit differently than most of the media.
Okay. We received some criticism at PolitiFact Bias for just being critical all the time, and also inevitably from doing so many criticisms of PolitiFact, it occurred to me, you know, what would it look like if a fact-check service was fact-checking correctly? And, of course, one of our big criticisms was the rating system that PolitiFact had. So that was really one of the big things I looked at to try to do something better. So the premise at Zebra Fact Check, I did come up with a rating system, but instead of putting the rating on a sliding scale, the approach has been to try to identify specific flaws in a statement, be it a fallacy, weighting the evidence just to one side, leaving something out, taking something out of context, a variety of factors. There are many factors like that, and so our approach has been to just list those factors and give a rating in that manner. Another thing that we've tried to do is employ the principle of charity every time we look at a statement. That's something that PolitiFact really struggles with. Sometimes it's easy to take a statement in one particular way because it looks like a setup for an entertaining fact check, or it agrees with your ideology, something like that, and they just go with it. That's really not fair to politicians. There are a lot of different ways to communicate, hyperbole, things like that. PolitiFact claims to take hyperbole into account. Often they do not. And so we try really hard to make sure we're giving a fair interpretation when we look at a statement. And with Zebra Fact Check, obviously I'm the same as PolitiFact. I choose which statements I'm going to rate, so we never collect ratings and put a graph up to try to give somebody an idea of how truthful somebody's going to be. Instead, we try to just explain the issue, and it ends up being a little bit like the explanatory journalism model at Vox, hopefully without as many ridiculous mistakes as Vox makes. But I do think that's a key part of fact-check journalism. Strictly speaking, you're not just checking facts when you try to do a lot of explanation. That really, to me, that really is one of the values of fact-checking, even though it isn't strictly checking facts, explaining things that are detailed or hard to figure out, or certain types of deception, explaining those types of deception to the reader. And so that's the focus of Zebra Fact Check. And we also try to link to sites that help educate our readers about when fallacies have occurred and different types of bias that people use when they're speaking or interpreting things.
And another thing you do there that, frankly, I wish every fact checker and frankly, I think this would help, you know, journalism as a whole if they embraced more of this. But as far as transparency, if you go and interview someone via email or whatnot, you post that whole thing, right?
Yes, I do. Now, I kind of got that idea from PolitiFact Texas, although it has always bothered me when I would read an expert interview and they'll have this quotation, and I'm wondering, what question did they ask to get this person to say that? You don't find that kind of stuff out, and they could be using leading questions. In fact, PolitiFact Texas has provided email exchanges where it's pretty apparent that they did ask a leading question.
So
props to them for being transparent about
it doesn't always happen, I guess. So kudos to the Texas franchise of PolitiFact for doing some of that. Now, I got into it with PolitiFact last year over some of the gun bills that they were trying to pass in California. And PolitiFact California did a fact check on the claim from Gavin Newsom's group, which was called the Safety for All Initiative. And the claim they checked was there are at least twice as many licensed firearm dealers in California as there are McDonald's. Okay. Now, I've got some problems with the fact check because, you know, they're looking at licensed firearm dealers, and it looked like in their fact check they included a lot of people who have, and this gets a little bit into the weeds, what's called an 03 federal firearms license. And an 03-1 is a collector of curios and relics. And most of those people, in fact, just about all those people, collect those guns for themselves. They are not like a storefront you can go into and buy a gun from. And they seem to include that in the count, but that's neither here nor there. So they looked at this, they added them all up, and they said it's true. There are twice as many gun dealers in California as there are McDonald's. Gavin Newsom turned around, took that fact check, and tweeted this. Fact, it's easier to get a gun than a Happy Meal in California. Now, the fact that there are more gun dealers than McDonald's does not make it easier to buy a Happy Meal than it does to buy a Happy Meal. In California, a Happy Meal does not require you to be 18 years of age or 21 for a handgun. You don't have to wait 10 days to get your Happy Meal. You don't have to pay. You don't have to have a license and take a quiz on food safety to buy a Happy Meal. It was the most ridiculous thing in the world, and I thought, you know, PolitiFact, they're misrepresenting your work. Speak up, say, hey, no, that's a poor characterization of our work. You shouldn't say that, Gavin Newsom. Instead, they retweeted it, which, you know, I understand some people say retweets do not equal endorsements, but this seemed to look an awful lot like an endorsement. And I tried contacting PolitiFact. I tried defend your work, okay, because this is a horrible characterization of your analysis. And it's so horrible that it's frankly false, and you should probably follow up on it. Instead, that got asking that question and pointing out that they had kind of stepped in it in this case got me banned from their Facebook page, got my comments memory holed, and they don't like me there anymore. So, and the funniest thing about it is PolitiFact's California's reporter, a guy named Chris Nichols. He worked at two different newspapers I worked at. He came there after I had left each of them, North County Times and Escondido. After I had left to go to the Union Tribune, he came to the North County Times. After I left the Union Tribune, he moved to the Union Tribune for a little while. So that sort of kind of thin-skinned behavior does not, you know, especially when you're trying to put yourself out there as unbiased and you know, calling balls and strikes as you see them as an impartial ref, doesn't seem to inspire confidence. And in recent weeks, they've kind of come after you guys at PolitiFact Bias as well. What sort of things have they been saying about you guys that aren't true?
Generally speaking, PolitiFact wants to pretend that we don't exist. The only reason you know about that criticism that we're talking about is because we fished it out of a report that an intern with PolitiFact had written that was supposed to show how PolitiFact deals with criticism. And she interviewed a number of fact-checkers, including Angie Drobnik-Holen, and that's when Angie Drobnik-Holen characterized PolitiFact Bias work and my work as merely complaining that Republicans don't get enough good ratings, which is, come on, that's completely false. Our criticisms of PolitiFact are typically fact-based, or we criticize them over the misleading nature of their collected ratings, the report cards and such. So really her defense was completely untrue. They don't like mentioning us. They do have made a number of corrections because of criticisms we've made of them, but they don't mention who brought it up. They don't mention our name. There was another interview with Amy Holyfield, who's another PolitiFact editor, and an intrepid journalist asked her about PolitiFact Bias, and she goes, oh yeah, we've heard of them. And then Holyfield took over the interview and introduced another subject. She goes, almost like, you should ask me about this, and got her very quickly off the subject of the criticism they get from us. They prefer just to pretend that we don't exist.
This is Matt Hoy on the Dave Congleton Show. We're talking with Brian White of PolitiFactBias.com and ZebraFactCheck.com. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 543-8830 or 1-800-549-5832. Again, this is the Dave Congleton Show on News Talk 920 KVEC, 920 AM, 96.5 FM.
I want a girl with a mind like a diamond. I want a girl who knows what's best. I want a girl with shoes that cut and eyes that burn.
This is Matt Hoy sitting in for Dave Congleton, News Talk 920 KVEC. We're talking with Brian White, ZebraFactCheck.com, PolitiFactBias.com. If you'd like in on the conversation, now is the time to call, 543-8830 or 1-800-549-5832. What do you think most of these fact checkers could do to kind of improve their reputation with those of us kind of who are right of center?
Transparency is the key. The first thing is to dump rating scales that are subjective. If PolitiFact would dump the Truthometer, that alone would do quite a bit. The next thing is, again, transparency. Engage with critics. If somebody says you did something wrong, answer it. At Zebra Fact Check, we put up a button that says report an error. If somebody sees an error, we encourage them to report it. That's a feature that some fact checkers use. PolitiFact has never used it. WAPO Fact Checker has never used it. And finally, they might consider hiring an actual conservative. I agree with you that the fact checkers tend to be left of center. They kind of live in a bubble. Most of them are in Washington for PolitiFact these days, even though the Tampa Bay Times is based in the Tampa Bay area. And it would help them to have another perspective and probably temper some of the excesses in misinterpreting statements and issuing unfair and inconsistent ratings.
Now, PolitiFact recently tried this experiment with having a couple politicians, and I was confused as all get out about what the heck that was supposed to do and what that was supposed to accomplish. They hired Dave Jolly and originally Alan Grayson, I think, to do what? It didn't seem like they were checking, you know, reviewing their fact checks for him. It seemed like it was, I don't know. Do you have any idea what was going on with that?
There was an experiment designed to increase trust in PolitiFact, and apparently PolitiFact felt that if they were willing to publish criticisms from both the right and from the left, from a Republican and a Democrat, then it would help Republicans and Democrats see that PolitiFact was more worthy of trust. But, as you kind of noted, they didn't really end up criticizing PolitiFact most of the time. They would usually say something like, you know, PolitiFact really got that one right. I don't know if they misunderstood what PolitiFact was asking them to do, but I think we could be pretty confident that the experiment will be limited in duration, and after April, we won't be seeing writing from them anymore. They have since hired I don't remember her description, but there's a new hire at PolitiFact who's supposed to handle reader engagement, and we'll see what she does.
And you've gotten phone calls and emails from her?
No.
I didn't think I haven't either, just for the record. For me, criticizing PolitiFact's a little bit of a hobby. For you, it's almost a full-time job, except you're not getting paid for it, which is sad. What's this international fact-checking network that's going on and that's happening? How is that working kind of in the fact-checking community?
The International Fact-Checking Network was an idea. I think Bill Adair was responsible for it. As fact-checking started to grow, he wanted to have kind of an oversight group to make sure everybody was doing things the right way, whatever that is. Then when Facebook said it was going to start using fact-checkers to kind of look at the news that was flowing through there and cutting down on fake news, they partnered with the International Fact-Checking Network, and at that point, the IFCN rushed into service an accountability system to supposedly try to make sure fact-checkers were following a code of principles. The method they're using has no real teeth in it. One of the principles is to have an open and honest corrections policy. Well, we criticize many of the fact checkers, not just PolitiFact, on their accuracy, and they tend to ignore problems and just let them and leave them alone. We don't see how that's open and honest, and the International Fact Checking Network apparently has no method that is going to cut down on that. I do communicate with the director of the IFCN, Alexios Mansarli, the Italian. It seems like a nice guy. I try to make suggestions that would actually help hold organizations into account. For an example, a mystery shopper type system where you find a mistake and then contact the fact checker and see if they correct it. And, of course, it would have to be done by a proxy, like a mystery shopper, so it wasn't obvious that the International Fact-Checking Network was doing it. But you'd see if they were doing corrections like they should or not if you did something like that.
So they have to have a policy, but they don't necessarily ever need to follow it.
They supposedly they're supposed to follow it, and they have independent assessors that review a report to see whether they're following it. There's no teeth in it. There's so far. I mean, maybe they'll figure out some way to get it done, but I don't have a lot of confidence in the system to hold fact checkers into account. Particularly, I mean, the International Fact-Checking Network itself is housed at the Poynter Institute. It has major fact checkers all on the board. It's all an insider game, and it's really more like a lobbying group to make sure that their type of fact-checking succeeds internationally rather than something that's supposed to hold them into account.
Yeah, again, just for the record, because this gets a little bit incestuous with you know what we're talking about. PolitiFact is a project of the Tampa Bay Times, which is owned by Poynter, which is a journal, which is a nonprofit, which trains journalists. Again, that's all based in Florida. So all of these groups are very they're siblings at the very least, under the same sort of umbrella. Go ahead.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, the Tampa Bay Times, PolitiFact has moved from the Tampa Bay Times directly to Poynter now. They're actually housed at the Poynter Institute in the same building with the International Fact Checking Network's president director.
So again, the reason why this thing started to take off was Facebook wanting to verify what's true and what's not. And last I checked, Facebook was doing that, but it seemed to be that that who they were checking and the sites that they were warning people about were all on the political right. Does that sound right?
It does, but most of that's a black box. We don't know exactly who's doing what and how. Facebook doesn't communicate that well about it, and it's hard to tell what role the fact checkers have in that also. It's apparently all done on reader reporting. They'll flag something as unreliable, then the fact checker ends up looking at it. And also, I think Facebook also rolled out a tool that will alert fact checkers to stories, and the rest of us don't know what's going on with that. That's all in-house, International Fact-Checking Network, fact-checker stuff.
Okay. So last question for you. If you were to kind of rate or rank fact-checkers as far as from your experience, transparency, willingness to own up to errors, that sort of stuff, who's doing the best and who's doing the worst? I used to think Snopes was very good, you know, checking those chain emails and that other sort of stuff. But when they started to get into politics, I thought they started to fall into the same trap a lot of the other fact checkers tended to fall into. How do you kind of rank them based on your experience?
I still think factcheck.org does a pretty good job. They do lean to the left, but they have a higher standard of research. They're located at a well-respected university and can make use of a lot of research tools there. They have a good staff there they can refer to. They are biased. They make some of the same goofy mistakes that PolitiFact and the Washington Post make, for instance, that tendency to call cutting the rise in the cost of a program a cut, more so for Republicans than for Democrats. But they do have a higher standard, and they don't use a cheesy rating system. So I always count that in their favor. They're also transparent about their funding.
When you see something you think's wrong, what are your sources? Where do you go to find out your information to show the other side of it or whether a mistake has been made?
Usually I'm using the same sources. Occasionally I'll use different ones if I think I can dig in a little bit better. But the errors that journalists make are often connected to math and science and just not understanding either one of them very well. They'll misinterpret charts on occasion, add things up incorrectly or inconsistently, and just misinterpret data. So that's one way we'll discover a mistake. And, of course, the other big thing is misinterpreting or taking claims in an extreme way and not considering the most sensible way to
Thanks a lot for your time. Thanks a lot for your time. We're running out of time, Brian. Thanks for spending time with us today. This is the Dave Congleton Show, 920 KVEC AM. Dave will be back tomorrow.
Yes, he will.
Give us a listen then. Thank you very much.